Reyes dribbles at the elbow. The give and go to Thompson. Thompson missed the running layup. Got his own rebound. Missed it again. Got the rebound again. Banking shot counts and a foul on Lakeside. Ronnie missed a couple times but made the third one count, and he's got a chance at a three-point play to put Osborne up by six.
Here's Brockman over to Gershner. Bounce pass to Quinn Eiler. Good kick out. Beisner open three from the corner. Bingo! Gershner to Quinn Eiler to Beisner. Sophomore to sophomore to sophomore for the triple. Beloit leading by one. After the timeout, they get it into Burks. Burks into Owen Eiler. Owen drives, puts up the banker and rattles it home. He muscled it up and in. Owen with 14 and Beloit's up by three. And Beloit's lead is three with a minute 12 to play. And Brockman comes up with a steal. Wyatt going all the way, lays it up and in. And Beloit's up five with a minute five to play here in Clay Center.
High school basketball last night. Osborne continues their dominance in boys basketball over Lakeside. Dusty had the call over from Stockton last night on Katie Kunch 94 and katiekunch94.com. And the Beloit boys win for the 11th consecutive time against Clay Center. 59-52 was the final. Beloit trailing going in the fourth quarter, but got it done. They're 1-1 on the season. Beloit led by Owen Eilert. He was the SNS Drug and Home Health Athlete of the Game with 19 points, 8-13 for the foul line. Here's Wyatt Brockman with a critical steal and layup, give him a two-possession lead. That was probably the biggest play of the game to kind of give them a little bit of breathing room and a couple of big three-pointers, as we referred to there, too, there in the third quarter by a couple of sophomores. And Beloit was able to get it done, got stops in the fourth quarter. That's been a theme for them, is improve their defense, and it was better in the second half, and they got the stops. And Clay Center didn't score a point the first 4.5 minutes of the fourth quarter. And Beloit goes on to win, a much-needed win, and a good win for a young basketball team that's now 1-1, headed to Southeast Saline on Friday. You could have enjoyed that last night on the local video stream, ncksports.com, via the Beloit Trojan channel. The girls' game last night, Clay Center led pretty much the entire way, controlled things, and won 52-35. But Beloit girls did show, no doubt, improvement. And certainly if they had played this game last year, which they didn't because there was COVID and quarantines and everything, Beloit would have had a hard time trying to score last year. But this year, their offense is improved. They're not as timid shooting the ball when they're open. And at one point, they had three freshmen and two sophomores on the floor at one point there in the fourth quarter. They're a very young team. Only got five upperclassmen. Tatum Tejans-Peters led the way with 19 points, even though the official score robbed her of 2 points. I don't know how the person that is doing the book, the main person at a site, like, you have to be open to listening to other people that know what they're talking about. Put your ego aside, because last night Clay Center girls won 52-35. Tejans-Peters had 19, lead the way. She was SS Drug and Home Health Athlete of the Game. She had three triples as well and 4 of 4 from the line. But the official book gave her 17 because the lady that was doing it, from what I understand, wasn't really fully listening to other people that were paying attention. And she gave two free throws to another Beloit player, and they don't even look the same. There's only one redhead on the team, Tatum, that plays, and that's Tatum, and she wears 25. And so how do you possibly put the free throws when somebody's standing on the line in the middle of an island where you can see them clearly with their backs and you can see the number, and they don't shoot just one, a front end of 1-1, they shoot two, they make two. How do you possibly put that on the wrong player's line? Like, I can see where you can get off, like, on your line, you put it down wrong. But if somebody tells you, hey, that wasn't that person, it was another person, and you're stubborn and say, no, I got it right, you're a liar because you didn't get it right, because you didn't pay attention, or you can't admit, and this is the bigger part, you can't admit you made a mistake.
People that have been doing it for so long.
Yeah, how dare you tell me I get something wrong?
I know what I'm doing here. I've been doing this long enough.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Last night they got the score wrong about 4 or 5 times, and that went on for about 2 minutes in the first quarter. They kept getting the score wrong on the scoreboard left and right. And at one point I yelled down the scores table, like, that's not right. And it wasn't. And they finally got it right. And then they confused people that thought they had it right because they kept changing. It's like, come on, man, you have one job. And by the way, if somebody says, well, Wade, you know, it's not easy to do everything, don't be too critical. You know, what if you had to do it? I have done it. I have run a scoreboard before. And the part that's hard for the scoreboard, to me, harder is putting up fouls. Mm-hmm. You know, getting, that's harder, but that can be corrected easily. You can have it right in the book. But the score is the most important thing. That's why it's called a scoreboard. So you want to make sure you get it right. And there was a college basketball game just a few weeks ago in Division I where they messed up and left off a point. and they didn't get it corrected, and there was a coach that was trying to get it corrected, and by the time the game kept continuing, the officials didn't stop it and make sure they got it right. Somebody at the table had to buzz the horn and say, hey, we cannot proceed until we figure this out. Nobody did that. And you know what happened? The team that was a heavy underdog, I forgot who they were playing. They were playing a Pac-12 school. They lost by one. That point was the difference in the game. So I'm sitting here and I'm watching them put the points up wrong on the scoreboard multiple times in the first quarter. And I'm going, listen, this has to be addressed now. You can't wait till halftime. You can't wait till the end of the first quarter. You don't wait until the game is almost over. Because the longer you go without addressing it, the more confusion and people don't remember because more stuff happened since the problem occurred. So you need to adjust it immediately. And that is the job of the person at the scorer's table who is running the clock, who has a button that can buzz the horn, or here's an idea, just all of you at the table yell at once and say, hey, Mr. Official, okay? And as soon as the next stoppage, you have them come over and you say, listen, we have a discrepancy here. Okay? We have a discrepancy here. And I've seen it in volleyball. They get together, they work it out, they figure it out. I've seen it in basketball before. They've worked it out in regards to a discrepancy on how many timeouts somebody has or a point situation or, hey, wait a minute, we have three. No, sorry, the official called it a 2 foot was on the line. Oh, okay, my bad. I didn't see them change it from a 3 to 2. That's happened to me watching the game. They call it a 3, and then eventually later they go, well, no, it's a 2. Or they initially call 3, and then they like 2. Or they shoot 2 because I see the kid behind the line, and then he or she steps forward and barely touches the line. Looks like a 3 from my viewpoint. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking 3. Go down to right 3 and look on the scoreboard. They put up 2. And then Charlie will tell me. He helps with the video stream along Brody Litton. He says they actually called it a 2 foot was on the line. Cool. That helps me. Thank you. And so that's the key, communication. Communication is a lost art. We are in the communication business, and yet people don't want to communicate. It is very frustrating to me. You know this. It's a huge pet peeve of mine, gigantic pet peeve, is that when somebody wants something for you, they want it right away. When you ask them for something, they can't bother to text or email or call you or tell you anything for 2 days. And it's like, wait a minute. If it's important to you, you get back to me right away. But if it's important to me, you don't give a flying bleep. And it's very frustrating. It's like, why should I get back to you when you don't get back to me? Mm-hmm. It's very disrespectful is what it is when it comes to the lack of communication. And in this day and age, it is super easy to communicate because pretty much all of us have smartphones. Yeah. It is so easy to, like, when you get a text, to simply say, okay. Like, at least let me know you got it, especially if it's something that's important, whether it's personal, whether it's work, whatever it might be. I have family members that suck at this. All right. I got people that I've worked with that suck at this. And I'm not going to say I'm perfect. There are times where I have a lot of text and I overlook one. But you know what? If somebody sends me the text a second time, guess what? I respond. I don't ignore it twice. But there are people that do. And it is very, very annoying. You just immediately assume that, well, they got what I got and they got it and I got it. And like sometimes there's an actual question being asked. Like, could you answer the question? Is it that difficult? And so when you're getting back to the point of the story, you are at a scorer's table. There are multiple people there. There are multiple people that are keeping track of the book. There's somebody for Beloit. There's somebody for Clay Center in this instance, all right? Cindy McCullough does a wonderful job. And there are times where she tries to let people know, listen, this is not what I got. And I know there are times where people are very easy to work with, like, oh, you know what? Let's look at this. But there's some places that are just like, how dare you question what I have? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the reason we have somebody here to double check you. Because if there wasn't somebody representing both teams, how easy would it be for somebody to purposely cheat and somehow add a point to the scoreboard and maybe, just maybe, somebody, nobody, most people go, well, they clearly got it right. They're paying attention. I'm watching my kid play. I might have looked down. I might have missed something. You know, that is important. And you have to get it right as soon as possible. The longer you let it go, the more likely it's going to cost you. And if it can happen in a Division I college game in men's basketball, which it did, it can happen in high school a lot easier. A lot easier. And so I'm one up there. You know how I am. I've got a deep voice. And it helps me a lot of times to get somebody's attention. Doesn't mean I'm mad at them. It's because I'm trying to get their attention. For instance, last night, somebody, I plugged into the wall outlet with my cord, and so after the game, Ryan Eilert comes up to do the interview, and he's just about ready to grab the headset, and all of a sudden, all the power goes out. I look over, and the Clay Center radio guy, Rocky, who I know, you know, he unplugged me, and I'm like, what the? And so I just go, hey, somebody unplug me, and I'm yelling because Otherwise, if I go, hey, somebody unplug me, can you please plug it back in? They can't hear me. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting his attention. I'm not mad at him. I'm just like, hey. Well, coming to find out, somebody unplugged me, maybe when I went to the bathroom or something, and plugged it into his power strip. He didn't know that somebody took my cord out of the wall without any permission or asking, and then put it into the power strip. So then Rocky, when he's done, naturally just turns his stuff off and then doesn't realize somebody plugged into his power strip. And so, once again, I just had, and I told Rocky, I was like, hey, man, I wasn't mad at you. I just want you to know I was loud because I wanted to get your attention. And there are times where my voice and my tone, people, trust me, I've dealt with this for years, and Dusty knows this. I've got a person in my family that absolutely just any single word I say gets totally misconstrued because of my tone isn't right. I'm like, yeah, your tone's perfect. So anyway, it's like, listen, I have a loud voice, and sometimes people can take that the wrong way. I have a deep voice. I can get people's attention. Listen, my kids know when they don't listen to mom, and mom, my wife is a sweet person, and my wife rarely gets very upset, and she rarely yells. But let me tell you something. When she does, it scares the bleep out of me, okay? Because I'm not used to her doing that. Mm. And so she doesn't usually raise her voice super high. She doesn't have a deep voice, okay? Women usually don't have as deep a voice. And so my kids will hear her, but they don't listen to her very closely, or they're blocking her outlet in one ear out the other. But if I say, hey, Noah, or hey, Liam, or hey, whatever, I say my kid's name, you know what happens? Their head snaps, and they look at me. Now, I'm not yelling at, sometimes I have to yell at them. Well, sometimes I probably shouldn't. But anyway, I get their attention is my point. And so my deeper voice is sometimes a blessing. Sometimes it is a curse. Absolutely. Like when I, let me tell you something. When I go as a fan and there's a bad call by official, and if I ever, and usually I try not to say much, but when it's a horrendous call, I will probably be the loudest one in the gym because I just have a very deep voice, blessed or cursed, whatever you want to call it. And so my point is, so I was letting this go on the score being wrong over and over. Finally, I'm like, nobody in the Beloit section was doing anything. Nobody in the Clay Center section was doing anything. I know that Cindy was aware of it down at the table. And so I eventually like, hey, that's not right. I yelled it while I'm doing the video stream because nobody else was. I was like, you can't let this go. And you know what? Coaches have enough to worry about. That's why you have people at the table to help you, because you're trying to work on substitutions, play calls. You're not always staring at the scoreboard to make sure that the score is right. And you're not always looking to see, did the clock run when it's supposed to be stopped? That's why you have other people to help you. You've got assistant coaches who are still trying to focus on the court and the game. That's why you have somebody from your school helping at the scores table. And then hopefully you have media people, and you have even some parents keep an eye on it in the stands. It's a collective team effort. And so when you have a discrepancy, it needs to be addressed, or you have controversy. And you think about this game. If they didn't get that fixed last night, that game was tight, Beloit Clay Center, and it could have impacted impact strategy. Like if you're absolutely supposed to be up four and you're up three, it changes everything. It changes from the other team can maybe have a little bit of time to try to get a steal to I got a foul automatically because I'm down two scores. It changes everything if one point is wrong on the scoreboard. And some people that do it don't understand how important their job is, and there are people that do a wonderful job and listen to people and understand, hey, oops, I put a three up, they called it a two. Or whoops, I put it on the wrong side. We're all human. I'm not being critical of people for making mistakes. My criticism comes when you make a mistake and you are too stubborn and too egotistical to listen to anybody. And then you say, and you don't listen to other people, and you get it wrong. Listen, Tatum had two free throws that were given to another player. That's wrong. That isn't hard to get wrong or get right.
Yeah,
it's not that difficult. And so when somebody tries to help you out, that's where you need to be like, okay, let me double check this. And you can check it yourself. And if you still have a problem and you keep coming up with the same thing you have, and the other person for the other school comes up with the same thing they have, that's when you need to call the officials over and stop play. Like as soon as there's a dead ball, turnover, whatever, timeout, you say, hey, come here. And if it takes a couple extra minutes and the stops play, it's important to get it right. We don't have to take 15 minutes like with instant replay and every play in under 2 minutes, the NBA, you know, 2 minutes in the NBA takes half an hour to play. You know, we don't have to review every single ball, every single this or that. But that is important. It is very important to get it right. And no team, and I mean no team, should be robbed of a loss or a win because somebody at the scores table couldn't keep track of points.
Yeah. Hey, it changes. It doesn't only change, like, if you're 4-3 for the team with the ball. It also changes what you're doing defensively without the ball, because if it's
saying.
3, you're probably going to foul so they don't get a 3 off toward the end of the game. If it's the end of the game,
right.
You're probably going to foul so they don't get a 3. A lot of coaches have that strategy, right?
Right.
If it's 4, you don't care what they shoot.
Right.
I mean, if it's coming down to the last part there,
right.
You're just going to take your chances. You can give them a 3 because you're up by 4. You know,
exactly.
You're still going to be up by 1. So that would change even the leading coach's strategy at that point.
Right.
I had a game last year where the home team actually gave the road team 2 points, 2 extra points. The points weren't there. Like, nobody scored them, and they gave them the 2 extra points. And then the scoreboard couldn't find them, so the official scorer just gave the 2 points to the leading scorer.
And it just made something up.
Yeah, just made it up because it didn't match what she had in the book.
So she automatically rewarded the top scorer, not knowing if that person scored the points. That should have just been other team points if you can't figure it out.
And I'm sitting here like, you're shorting your own team here. Like, somebody figured that. I'm surprised that, and the coach for the home team never even said anything about it.
Yeah.
There's a couple people that looked at the book to try to figure out if it was right or where the extra points came from. But that was, I mean, it's weird sometimes what you'll see from the board to the book and everywhere in between on that. Because usually coaches, I mean, if you got shorted as a coach and they gave 2 extra points to the other team, I would have been right there.
Oh, but. Yeah. I the other thing, too, is I understand that many of these people aren't being paid. They're volunteers, and I totally get that. But just like anything in life, if you sign up to do something, you should do your best.
Yeah.
Whether you're getting paid for it or not, that's always how I've been raised. You do your best at whatever it is. You strive to do your best. Maybe your best isn't good enough. And you could say, well, okay, Wade, so there you just said it. Maybe their best isn't good enough for you. Well, their best isn't good enough for me when they're not willing to listen and talk to other people.
Yeah.
My problem with anybody at the scores table has nothing to do with they make a mistake. No. That's not my point at all. My point is to realize you made a mistake and don't put your ego ahead of all the players and coaches and fans that were there to make sure that it's fair fight. And there was a JV game already this year where the kid goes to the line and shoots 2 free throws, and mysteriously the other team got 3 points. I'm like, okay. And I said something and nobody addressed it, and then came down and we shot a 3 that should have won the game, and it would have tied the game and gone to overtime, and we would have gone to overtime for no reason. So I was kind of thankful we missed the shot, because I would have had to run over there and say, listen, this isn't right. And I said something, and other people agreed with me, but I'm one that's going to be a little more vocal to make sure it's right. There's passive people, and there are aggressive people. I am one of those more aggressive people. Some people like that in me. Some people don't like it. I am who I am, you know? And so there are people that are very passive. There are people who will be like, yeah, you're right, that's totally wrong. But they won't get up and go get it right. They'll just be like, they're scared to go say anything to anybody.
Yeah.
And it's like, did you ever ask anybody out when you were in high school? Because is that what took place? How do you get anything answered in life if you're scared to ask anything?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always told my kids over and over, it's okay to ask questions. Like, I tell my oldest, if you don't understand something that the coach is telling you, And you need to ask the coach for clarification, whether it's after the game, whether it's during the game, whether it's after practice. You can pick your time, but don't be so stubborn and be scared, because if you don't understand something and you don't get clarification and you don't communicate with your coach,
mm-hmm.
then guess what's going to happen? You're going to continue to be confused. You're going to continue to run the play wrong, and that's going to hurt your team. You know, so it is important to communicate. And also it's important for coaches also to communicate with players when they can tell the kid isn't quite getting it. But you can't keep track of every kid's mental state. So that's where a kid's got to be, you know, coach, I'm sorry, but I'm sorry, but I'm just not grasping this concept here. Or coach, exactly where do I need to be again here? I'm a little bit confused. It's okay. A coach will respect that. A coach will be like, well, okay, you care. And two, the coach might be a little frustrated that you're not getting it. It might seem easy to the coach, okay, but it might not be easy to the player. And then there's times where the player may think something is easy, and it isn't as easy as he thinks when it pertains to the coach. That's the beauty of sports. It's the same thing with media. We may think it's easy to do this when we talk about, you know, professional coaches making a decision. We think it's easy. It might not be as easy as we think. But the key point of my conversation here is communication, whether it's a scores table having something wrong, whether it's the clock that ran when it shouldn't have run, or it didn't start when it was supposed to start. They need to make communication. The officials have enough of a tough job. All right. They need help. Everybody needs to work together collectively. The scores table, the clock operator, the scorebook people, the coaches, and the officials need to work together to make sure they get things right the best they can. They all have their individual jobs, but if they don't communicate, you get things wrong. Like, the officials many times have to communicate when there's a questionable call. Like, I got a block, I got a charge. Do they just run over and both call the foul and say block and charge, and both players get a foul? No, they communicate, and they say, whoa, I got a charge, I got a block. What'd you see? Here's what I saw. Oh, I got the travel before the block or the charge. Okay, cool, I'll go with that. Now, there were some really bad calls last night. I'm not going to argue with. I saw one of the worst charging calls I've ever seen, and actually, when it happened, I thought it was going to happen. Because I was like, but I caught myself and said, you know what? If you think you can do a better job, why aren't we all wearing stripes and grab a whistle? And somebody listening to me right now and say, well, if you think you can do a better job and run the scoreboard and you can run the clock and you can do all this, Wade, then why don't you sign up and do it? Well, because I have another job when I'm there. It's called radio and streaming. So I have my hands full. Other people got to do those things. But once again, it ain't about making mistakes. It's about correcting the mistakes, especially when you have other eyes looking at the same thing you are, and making sure you get it right. And what I hear over and over in sports with instant replay, and I hear it, you know, from people just in general life and society, is let's get it right. Well, you're not getting it right when you put 2 points on another player's line and somebody brings it up to you and you are stubborn and say, no, that's right, when you clearly didn't know the difference between a blonde, a brunette, and a redhead. And that's not even needing numbers to figure that out.
No, Tatum is a unique-looking person for that team, right? Like, if I'm watching Beloit girls, I know who Tatum is.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Right away, you know who Tatum is. She's a redhead. She's usually got the ponytail. I mean, she is a very good shooter, has improved in that area. And by the way, I remember when I was in high school, there were a couple times where I got points that were supposed to be mine that went to Larry Post. Mm-hmm. I remember that. It happened like 3 or 4 times. Never did I get points from anybody else.
Yeah,
but
exactly,
they took
yeah.
them. I was like, why am I at losing points?
Yeah.
Like, that's not right. But what do I do? I mean, I can't do anything. It looks selfish if I say that.
Yeah.
So I don't really say much about it as a player. I remember that in high school. It's like, all it matters is we win or lose. But at the same time, I'm like, why is Larry stealing my points?
Yeah.
Because I remember that. I was like, Larry, why does Larry always get it? And maybe it's the same thing that just happened, what you talked about. Oh, what do we do with these 2 points? Yeah, I'm not sure where they go to. Who's their leading scorer? Oh, yeah, let's just pile it on to the leading scorer. It's like, no, give it to the kid that played 1 minute and never scores. Give him 2 points.
Yeah.
You know, why is the leading scorer automatically let it get it? You know? And there's times where I get the points wrong. I do. Like, I'll double check it. I'll double check it. Or at the end of the night, I might have 2 wrong. And the next day on a wrap, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, she had 22, not 24. Or I missed this or that. It happens. But it's not that big a deal if I get that part wrong myself. The key is to have the score right on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter the score I have. My score might be right. Charlie might have it right on the scoreboard on our video stream. But if the people at the table don't have the score right, it doesn't matter if everybody else has got it right and they got it wrong is all that matters. So it is frustrating to me. The communication thing is it's that way, whether it's scores table, whether it's life, whether it's work. And I'm sure we all have our examples of either stubbornness, not admitting they make a mistake, or simply not getting something right because there's a lack of communication, whether it's on purpose or whether it's just not on purpose. It can be extremely frustrating. Extremely.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
I feel better, though. Thanks for listening, everyone. See, this is, and I don't have to pay for therapy. I can just jump on the microphone and do it. A split last night. Clay Center girls win and the Beloit boys win. Osborne and Lakeside, man, the Osborne boys just, but Lakeside boys are sitting there going, when is this going to happen? It's going to happen. Every streak must come to an end. Lakeside boys basketball team's got to feel like the Denver Broncos, right? Except that Lakeside has a longer losing streak to Osborne in boys basketball. And when they win and beat Osborne, it will be one of the best wins they've had in school history, no matter how good or great both teams are. Because you're finally going to end a streak that you're tired of probably hearing about. There have been so many close games, you would have thought Lakeside would have won one of those just by the law of averages. There are things in sports that just defy logic, and this is one of those.
Yeah, we're not talking about like Lakeside having bad teams here or anything.
No,
that. We're talking about two teams that are usually pretty good, right? On the boys' side, that are fairly good when the season comes to a close, and then they'll meet in the postseason sometimes too. It just seems like Osborne always just has that one player, the one player or whatever it is down the stretch that's going to do some good things for them. 24 straight now for Osborne over Lakeside on the boys' side as they won 51-40 last night. Ronnie Thompson, the 6'5 transfer, we saw him in football, and this is my first chance to watch him in basketball, and he was dominant on the inside, just really controlled the paint in the post, had 20 points and 18 rebounds, and just really controlled the game for Osborne. So that was the biggest difference, 20 out of the 51. Actually, 35 out of the 51 were scored by two guys that came in this year for Osborne. Johnny Hamel from Stockton, a transfer, had 15 points. He had 24 in the first game. So there's two guys that are really helping this squad out here this year as others kind of get rolling into it. Doak Gutter, he's out with an injury right now, so that's definitely helped them out. Osborne having those two guys in their lineup, and they beat Lakeside 51-40. Now Lakeside had their opportunities; they missed shots. You know, they were down by five and had a chance a couple different times to get it back to a single possession and couldn't quite do it. So it's kind of how the breaks went for Lakeside there last night. Peyton Ellis did have a career high 9, and Kylan Cunningham scored 9, so nobody in double figures for Lakeside there. Thompson was our athlete of the game from SNS Drug and Home Health in Beloit. On the girls' side, Osborne really controlled the game. They won 65-34. Trinity Luters and Gracie Reiner had 4 3-pointers each. Trinity led the way with 20. Gracie had 14. Osborne's now 2-0 on the season. Lakeside, that was their first game last night. Lauren Brummett scored a career-high 13 points for them, but they were unable to come away with a victory there last night. So, again, Lakeside starts the season 0-1 as Osborne picks up the win on the girls' side, 65-34. Other games last night in the area at the preseason tournament there in Stockton. On the girls' side, Thunder Ridge won 59-46 over Stockton. Clifton Clyde beat Rock Hills 55-37. Lauren Welchel with 27 for Rock Hills. Chesket Tournament, Sylvan Lucas beat Wilson 51-16. Central Plains and a barn burner beat Smith Center in the girls' game last night at the Amos Morris Classic first round 61-57. And Concordia over Republic County 39-34. Other boys' scores from last night, it was Logan Palko beating Thunder Ridge. This is Logan Palko and Thunder Ridge played instead of Stockton. Again, no boys team for Stockton this year. Logan Palko won 51-24. Thunderbird Invitational there, Clifton Clyde and Mankato beating Rock Hills 82-13. Sylvan Lucas over Wilson 58-9. Lincoln beat Fairfield in the first round of that tournament 41-34. Smith Center with a big impressive win over Central Plains 60-29. And Concordia beat Republic County 52-35. So those are the scores from last night's action. If you missed those, you can find them at ncksports.com. And for more on high school hoops, we encourage everybody to listen tonight for our high school basketball locker room chats on Katy Country 94 as we talk with the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge around 5:15 this evening. So stay tuned for that as well. And again, for all the latest in local sports, check out ncksports.com. The newest Kansas Basketball Coaches Association rankings are out there too. Osborne girls are up to number 9 and 181. Osborne boys are number 10 this week. 182. St. John's Tipton is up to into the rankings at number 10 as well, and Smith Center also in those top 10 rankings in Class 2A girls at number 4. So those are the immediate area teams that are ranked. Again, full rankings also at ncksports.com.
All right. KU basketball wins last night. They're 7-1 on the season. They take care of UTEP 78-52. Ochai Abaji, Christian Brown, getting it done.
He gets a turnover. Look, gets a rebound here, though. That's a lob up the floor to Ochai. And a two-hand jam rifled through there by Abaji on a 60-foot pass from Remy Martin.
KU wins easily 78-52 at T-Mobile Center in Kansas City. KU led 26-9, 36-13, 42-21 at halftime. Ochai Abaji 23, Christian Brown with 22. The only Jayhawks in double figures. Bill Self impressed with his backcourt.
I think that those two are playing at a pretty high level. I mean, you don't win by 26, you know, against a pretty good team very often if your starting guards play 52 minutes and don't score. So, obviously, those two carried us tonight.
All right, so KU gets Missouri. Missouri's off to a rough start. Fans, there are 100 groups of students already. Did you see this?
I did.
There are 100. You don't think KU basketball means more? SEC. It means more, unless it's a bowl game we don't care about. You know, when KU basketball should use that slogan, it means more, because it's true. There are not many schools where their students camp out. Let me stress this. Missouri and Kansas game is what day, Dusty? When are they going to play? Saturday. There are 100 group of students already
that are camping out, doing their studying, so forth and so on, at Allen Fieldhouse in the hallway. They are already camping out on yesterday on Tuesday, and the game isn't until Saturday, and they're not taking on the number one team in America. They're not taking on Duke or Kentucky. They're not taking on North Carolina. They're taking on Missouri, which is their rival, and they haven't played them in a while because Missouri bolted for the SEC. But Missouri stinks this year. They're not even that good. And that tells you how this is a real rivalry. When there's a deep hatred, that's a rivalry. KU, Missouri, listen, the students don't like Missouri. Missouri doesn't like KU. KU didn't really want to play Missouri after Missouri left. But whether KU wants to admit it or not, it's awesome to have Missouri back on the schedule, whether it's football or basketball.
Bill Self actually freely admitted that last night after the game. He's like, this is the best game on our schedule.
Right. But for years he was stubborn.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he was basically saying, why are we going to help Missouri by helping their schedule? And so now KU Missouri play at Allen Fieldhouse, 1:45 pregame Saturday. Today's Wednesday. Saturday on Z96.3 Lake and tip time at 2:15. KU will be a heavy favorite. And imagine if Missouri was any good. I mean, it's just incredible that there are 100 groups of students, little pockets of students, camped all the way around in the concourse at Allen Fieldhouse on Tuesday, and the game isn't until Saturday. Mm-hmm. Like, they were watching the KU-UTEP game on their phones while they're in Allen waiting for a game on Saturday. That, my friends, is called a rivalry. You could call it insanity as well, because I love sports, but I ain't camping out for 4 days. That ain't how I'm working, although at least it's inside, not outside. But that is crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah. It's wild.
Speaking of crazy and wild, did you feel anything this morning at 7:45? Or were you still sleeping?
Oh, I was out like a light.
Well, then you didn't feel anything.
No,
I didn't either.
Did not.
I didn't either. But do you know, at 7:45 this morning, I saw it on social media, and a lot of Beloit people are talking about it, and I've talked to people in Downs and Cocker City this morning, that they felt an earthquake. And I talked to Kim here at the building. He said that they felt it. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel it, and I was right here.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I went to the USGS. They monitor earthquakes of magnitude 2.5 or higher. At 7:45 this morning, the earthquake was 5 miles south-southwest of Gypsum, which is where I'm going Friday.
Mm-hmm.
The magnitude of the earthquake was 4.3.
Wow.
4.3. Now, I don't want to start any rumors or anything here. In a related or unrelated story, perhaps this is false information, because I've had chili the last couple nights. So I don't know if it really was an earthquake. So just saying. Yeah, anyway. But
I felt one before, but I didn't feel that one.
I've never felt an earthquake.
I've actually felt two now that I say that. One morning I fell asleep in my chair. I woke up the next morning, my chair was rocking. And I'm like, whoa, interesting. And then I got on Twitter and saw that. I heard the other one. I didn't really feel it. I heard my windows kind of rattle in my bedroom on the other one.
I've never felt an earthquake.
Yeah.
I was right here. I didn't feel the earthquake. You know the old song, I feel the earth move under my feet. I did not know that we have become the California of the Midwest with the earthquakes. Thought all we had to worry about was tornadoes, and usually can see those coming. But earthquakes, the scary part is you don't see those coming. All of a sudden just happens. 4.3. I did not feel it, and so I had the trivia question for a free small blizzard, and Shannon won a free small blizzard today, and I said, there's no wrong answer here. You call me and you tell me I felt the earthquake, or I didn't feel anything. Shannon called up and says, I didn't feel anything. I go, I didn't either.
Yeah.
I said, why am I missing out on these earth-shattering moments? Why am I missing out on these tremors? Why is this? I'm missing out on all the excitement. Everybody's bragging about social media that their house shook. I don't need my house to shake, because then I'll probably have foundation damage and I got to pay for it. So I don't need that. But, you know, I have never felt an earthquake. All these people tell me, oh, I felt this, I felt that. And sometimes I think now what's going to happen anytime something happens, it could be a plane and a sonic boom. That was an earthquake. Let's freak out. It was an earthquake. Oh, a chair fell over. Ah, that was an earthquake. No, it was a cat jumping off the chair to get to the couch. But I talked to Terry today over in Downs, and he said he felt... I said, did you feel the earthquake? Because he was the winner of our 12 Days of Christmas. He goes, yeah. And he goes, yeah, I thought, he said something like he thought somebody was in the house. And I said, yeah, you thought there was an intruder in the house. And little did you know, it was just an earthquake and some things moved. But, 4.3, 5 miles south-southwest of Gypsum. And we felt it all the way up here. I don't know if people filled it further north of Highway 24 or not. I would guess they probably was.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It is. That what's weird, I think, about it is, like, there's been quite a few of them up in Jewell County, right?
Yes. They're usually around three. They're usually magnitude 2.5 to 3.
Yeah, and so we
Cocker City, I went recently.
Never felt any of that before, really, in the area. And but the ones that are, like, in down south, or I can't remember where that one was. It was somewhere, I think, north of Wichita.
I was going to say, there was one near Wichita one time that was felt all the way up here.
Yeah.
Cocker City, near Cocker City and Downs, now, what was it, about a month ago, there were some earthquakes, and they were like 2.4, 2.5, 2.6. I didn't feel any of those. And then Jewell ones you mentioned, I think the highest I've seen is maybe 3.1, 3.2.
Yeah.
I think so obviously, if you're a 4.3, that's going to reverberate further like it did today. But, I did not feel it. I feel like I'm missing out on all the excitement.
Yeah.
I feel like such a loser.
You're going to have to, like, blow a trumpet into my ear like my brother did when I was going up to wake me up at about 7:30 this morning.
I kind of knew the answer to the question before I asked the question. Dusty, at 7:45 on a Wednesday morning, did you feel an earthquake? Yeah. I kind of felt that the only way he would feel an earthquake is in your dreams or nightmares.
Yeah.
I got back late last night, too.
Part of it was my own fault. My nephew actually made a shot as time expired to send his game into overtime last night, so I kept watching that video on repeat and watching him, and then I stayed out here way too long after that, so that was partly my own fault.
There you go. All right, did you mention KBCA rankings?
I did.
You did, okay.
Yep.
It's been a crazy morning. All right, it's time for K-State in Focus. It's time for K-State in Focus. Our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. All right, the K-State women off to a 7-2 start. The two losses to the top five teams, NC State and South Carolina, number one. Their net ranking in the country is number 11. So K-State's off to a really good start. Jeff Mitty's crew, they'll be at Omaha tonight at 5 o'clock. K-State men, 5-2, host Marquette, who's 7-2 tonight at 8:05 on ESPN2. It's a color rush game. Fans are encouraged to wear lavender attire to match the Wildcats' all-lavender uniforms, which date back to the school's two-tone lavender uniforms wore from the mid-70s to the early 80s under legendary head coach Jack Hartman. Bruce Weber, his thoughts on Marquette tonight.
Jack has done a nice job. Great energy. And he's got them a little bit more his VCU kind of style. They're playing high, flying around, very, very active. So it's, we got a tough contest. They've already beaten, they beat Illinois, they beat West Virginia, they beat Ole Miss. You think about our opponents. So they've beaten some pretty good people right now, and they got pretty good energy.
K-State, Marquette tonight, 8:05 on ESPN2. Of course, K-State's going bowling. They'll play in the Texas Bowl on January the 4th in Houston. K-State 7-5, LSU is 6-6. NBA notes for you before we step aside here today on the sports ticket. We can tell you that last night in the NBA, the Nets beat the Mavericks 102-99. James Harden with 23, Luka Doncic with 28. Nets are 17-7. They lead the Eastern Conference, barely above the Bulls. And Dusty, Spurs are 8-15 now. As they lose
four wins in a row, and they've lost two now.
Darn it, 8-15. They lose to the Knicks 121-109. RJ Barrett with 32 for the Knicks, and the Lakers beat the Celtics 117-102. LeBron with 30, Jason Tatum 34. Celtics and Lakers supposed to be improved and good and threats for a championship, and they're both 13-12 through 25 games. But just remember, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. See how the Chiefs and the Buccaneers are doing right now. Before the season, we'll have a rematch. That's what I predicted in the Super Bowl. And then all of a sudden, what's wrong with Mahomes is broken and the Chiefs are having problems. Their defense is atrocious and the Chiefs are a joke and they're not going to be a threat anymore. And the Buccaneers have problems and they got too many injuries. There's no way they're going to make it. Now you look at the standings. The Chiefs are half a game out of the number one seed in the AFC. After winning five in a row, the Buccaneers are one game out of the number one seed in the NFC. So that's why you shouldn't freak out until basically your team's eliminated from playoff contention.
Yeah,
I guess you
sure.
can freak out. And the NHL, the Capitals of Washington lead the Eastern with 38 points. The Rangers with 37. The Atlantic, Florida, and Toronto tie with 38 points. In the Western, it's Minnesota with 37 points, well ahead of St. Louis. And the Pacific, Calgary with 35 points. My Seattle Kraken, they're okay. 9 wins, 14 losses in the two overtime games. They are not last in their division, and I say that is good because they are an expansion team. They're slightly ahead of Vancouver. They have 20 points, so they're not off to the best start, but they are 9-14, which isn't horrific when you look at Arizona's not an expansion team. They're 5-18, so, hey, we got that going for us. I say us because I'm a member of the Kraken, honorary. I have my own fan club for the Kraken. It's a club of one. Montreal, 6-18. They've been around forever. They're worse. The Islanders are 6-10-5. How about this one? New Jersey's 9-9-5. Nine wins, nine losses, and the five overtimes. I'm telling you, I hate ties. Just hate ties. Ties are ties. There should be no ties. You know the old saying, Tom Hanks, there's no crying in baseball. There should be no ties in sports. It shouldn't be allowed. That's why I still despise the spelling bee, and I'll never forgive it. When they had 23 national champions, or whatever it was, we ran out of words. How do you run out of words? There's like encyclopedias and dictionaries with literally millions of words.
Yeah.
How do you run out of words for a spelling bee? You do whatever you've got to do to break the tie, man. And hockey, it's simple. You just have a shootout and be done with it. In soccer, there should never be a tie. You have a shootout. Be done with it. Then you don't walk away going, how am I supposed to feel about this? My team didn't lose, but my team didn't win. Like, imagine calling basketball last night and, well, Lakeside did not lose to Osborne. They did not win. It ended in a tie. What? What coach do we talk to after the game now? The winning coach? There is no winning coach. Losing coach? There is no. What do we do? Talk to both tied coaches? What do you do in a tie situation? I can't imagine. So,
yeah.
What do you think of the game tonight? Well, would have liked a little extra time to decide who would have won. All right. That is the post-game show. Brought to you by Tide Detergent. When you don't want ties, get Tide. 9:52 our time, 30 degrees on a Wednesday, December 8, 2021. Anything else to add?
Actually, I just got the Acacia Hall of Fame for this year. There's nobody in the immediate local area, but they had one of the easiest ones that they could ever enter into the Hall of Fame because once he retired, it was automatic. Chuck Fessenden there at Northern Valley.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like whenever he retired, it was like whenever you're eligible, boom, you're in there, man. And so I thought that was kind of cool. A lot of people around here might know him. Especially the eight-man football coaches that have seen him in the area for the All-Star Games. And him and Don Melby and a bunch of guys were the ones that actually started the eight-man All-Star Games. So I figured that was kind of note to mention that. I literally just got that 2 minutes ago. So Chuck Fessenden from Northern Valley headed to the Kansas State High School Activities Association Hall of Fame. So.
Fantastic. Congratulations. Great guy and did a wonderful job in multiple sports and helped so many kids. And that's the essence of coaching right there. Have a great day, everyone.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.